Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices of Anakazi, and today is Saturday, November 19th, 2011. I'm hosting from Los Angeles, California. Today, Dr. Wilson is joining us on this show, and we are discussing, among other things, his involvement with the African Growth Opportunities Act, and we are also talking about the Food and Drug Administration FDA requirements. So if you're joining us for the first time, on this show, we bring you experts from various fields to help women entrepreneurs and women with their careers. This is with the goal of building strong networking platform for African women. And we also aim to increase knowledge of global issues. We advocate for human rights and support the gender equality in addressing development issues. So to participate in this segment, please call in at 347-237-4270. You can also visit our website on www.zambianblogtalkradio.com, or you can visit my host page on Facebook and search for Voices of Anakazi, and we'll be able to add you to the group. You can also like us on the Zambia Blog Talk Radio Facebook page. We'll keep you updated on all the upcoming shows and even the current shows. So please, if you'd like to donate, you can still donate at www.zambianblogtalkradio.com. And there's a PayPal link there that you can use to make the payment. So before I even go any further, I just want to say good morning to Dr. Wilson. Good morning, Dr. Wilson. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Finding yourself?
I'm very well, thank you. And thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Yes, thank you. So, Dr. Wilson, today we want to talk about export readiness, and we also want to talk about your involvement with AGOA and what you're doing in the various African countries. So before we do that, please give us a background about yourself and all the experience that you have working with U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Sure, I'll be pleased to check. I've worked for the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for 25 years in various capacities. ranging from a laboratory director of food chemistry, also going into international affairs. I was an international director, desk director for Africa, all of the Middle East, and at one time all of Europe. That would include West Central as well as East. And at times I would cover the areas of the Americas, and at times the areas of Asia. However, that means that all of the products that are regulated by the Food and Drug Administration, it was my responsibility to assist in technical assistance and development in the areas that would assure that the products coming in to the United States that are regulated by the Food and Drug Administration are safe, wholesome, and efficacious, as well as meet the standards. So all of the regions and continents that I just mentioned, I was responsible for getting together teams to meet these requirements. This led me to just about all countries in Africa and just about all the countries in Europe, and some countries in the Middle East, some countries in Asia and Latin America. So having said that, I'll stop there and go right into the AGOA, the African Act. Hold on 1 second. I would like to go into the African Growth and Opportunity Act. And this act has to do with the first trade agreement between the United States and African countries. And as such, we were responsible for making sure that these products meet U.S. FDA requirements. Now, what I would like to do is, as opposed to going into depth on AGOA,
okay,
I would like to do is dovetail the program that preceded yours that has to do or that covered the Africa Business Market Diaspora Context. And by talking about that, I will be able to bring some light as well as appreciation to as well as the U.S. FDA and how each can work with each other.
Right, because I actually I looked at one of the best practices packages that was prepared by USAID, and I think one of the components was the diaspora participation. So I think it'll be it's fine to go ahead and maybe connect from where we left on that discussion.
Excellent. Thank you very much. It's two things, three things, actually. The first thing is Robert had talked about at the tail end of the presentation, one of the most important aspects of what I believe is an appendage to the diaspora contest, which is Robert talked about partnerships with the partnerships and also outreach into the Ministry of Commerce of Zambia to see if the Ministry of Zambia can identify potential Zambian partners. And in identifying the particular Zambian partners, in turn, promote the diaspora contact. Now, this is where it is very important, and if Robert is still listening, I want him to think about this and be innovative in incorporating it into his program, and hopefully all the other steering committees will do likewise. What is missing in many of these programs is the full partnership on the other side. For example, let's say a Zambian diaspora member pulled together an outstanding package, and I'll direct on two areas, agribusiness and renewable energy. Let's say this individual pulls together an outstanding package, and he or she has done due diligence in bringing this package together. So now the person or the company that's brought this package together is awarded a grant of $100,000. So they have the package together. They have the money. Now they turn around and they look for a partner. The ideal partner would be a Zambian in-country that's looking for this type of partnership, this type of business. But if you do it at the tail end, it's going to take you about maybe a year in order to bring this to fruition. You don't have a year. So my suggestion would be is while the individual is the individual organization is pulling together a package to be actively looking for a Zambian partner. Actively, and that can be done with the assistance of the Ministry of Commerce. Secondly, what is also not included is the regulatory aspects of the agribusiness partnership. You can look down the line as to what's being presented, and Robert mentioned and discussed the presenters. You did not hear anything about regulatory aspects, and that's the key to all agribusinesses, and it links up to renewable energy. This is what I mean by regulatory aspects. You've engaged in agribusiness. You have the most and the best fruit, so to speak, and you want to process that fruit. So you put together a plan, a proposal, a business plan, and it's been approved. So now you have money to build your processing facility. You have the fruit to be processed. You have the containers to be shipped. But you don't have the appreciation of what's needed in order for it to successfully enter the United States, or for that matter, neighboring countries. This is what's needed. The individual needs to know that there is in existence a bioterrorism requirement, food processing requirement. There are steps in which you have to alert the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. There are procedures and applications in which you have to follow in order to get your products through. This is one of the major drawbacks with AGOA. AGOA did not implement the understanding or the explanation of what is needed to meet the food and drug regulations. So therefore, if you don't know what is needed and you export your products to the United States and it is detained, then therefore you've wasted X amount of dollars. Maybe you wasted the $50,000 grant, or you wasted the $100,000 grant. So you need to know what are the regulations. And the regulations are you have to give prior notice to the Food and Drug Administration. You have to register with the Food and Drug Administration. You have to begin to put in process, or at least start putting in process, record keeping, meaning documentation when the product was picked, when it was packaged, when it was shipped, and that will lead you to the most, or avoid you from falling into the last category, which is having your products detained. You don't want your products detained, and that is the end damaging point to exporting. You have used $100,000 in grants plus X amount of money to prepare your company plus X amount of dollars to ship your products. And when it gets to the United States, where it is a lucrative market, a huge market, and is detained at the port of entry.
So what you're saying is before someone even decides to produce anything, maybe for the American market or whichever market, they need to make sure that all their requirements are met. They need to make sure that they contact the FDA, correct?
Well, not only having it be met, knowing what they are so that you would be on the way to meeting them. You don't have to wait until all the requirements are met. You just need to know what you have to do in order to meet those standards and requirements.
Correct. Okay. Now, you also mentioned that, so on this end, for example, one of the investors will be working and collecting the money or trying to get financing. Now, on the ground, if some of these businesses are trying to become export ready, what are some of the what are the initial steps that they need to follow in getting the appropriate training? I'm not sure if we have that many programs in the different countries that are trying to help businesses to become export ready. I know I read somewhere, I think the USAID, they came up with a group of organizations and they tried to come up with programs. Are you aware of any programs they can readily access in the different countries?
I could give you the types of organizations and the types of facilities that are working on it. And when I say working, it is working on AGOA, but not what I've talked about. There are hubs. There are African Growth Opportunity hubs, which assist. But there is no, and I'm sad to say, there are no programs out there that address what I'm talking about, that provides this type of training that I'm talking about. Because if there were, there would not be this gap over the last 10 years. AGOA has been in effect for 10 years. And there is a need for including regulatory training in this. Now, I, as a sidebar, I'm working with some colleagues in Zambia to bring this training about. But at the present time, there are no such training. The closest with regards to training is information sharing. And we did that in Las Vegas, and we also did that in Boston, recently in Boston. And
that's two trade shows, right?
Yes, that was an overview of when we held the U.S.-Africa Business conference in Las Vegas. Everyone in attendance there got an appreciation of what the regulatory structures are. And then when we went to the Rights of Government that was held in Boston, everyone got a, that was in attendance, got an appreciation of it.
Yes, actually, USAID also recommends that businesses attend such, you know, conferences and trade shows, because at that point they have access to all these different industry standards that people are sharing or businesses are sharing at the trade show. And then also, what do you think about partnering? For example, if there's a business here that wants to buy products from Africa and they identify a manufacturing company over there, what about that relationship of the client and the customer working together?
That would be outstanding. However, again, have the client as well as the potential partner look through the requirements to see if, in effect, the regulations that I'm talking about are realized and are understood. That's very important. And also, when you look at programs, technical training programs, just look and see if regulatory aspects are being provided. And you will find that out of 100% of the technical trainings that's being provided, maybe 1% of regulatory aspects.
Well, so is that...
You know what? let me just share this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best way to find out if a trade show is providing the regulatory training that I'm speaking of.
Okay.
See if the invite has gone out to a person from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. See if there's a person from that agency that's going to be there. And see what that person is going to talk about. If you
but
don't
that's
see.
Only, that's only for trade shows here in the U.S., right? What about the trade shows maybe in Africa? How would they go about identifying?
Same thing. Look at any and all trade shows in Africa and see if a U.S. food and drug person is one of the presenters, or if a person that has been identified by the respective U.S. embassies that can talk about FDA regulations. That will tell you whether or not you're going to get what is required in order to successfully export your product. Let me just give you one example of why it's so important.
Okay.
If the products are not meat or poultry or egg-related products, all the other agricultural products are regulated by the Food and Drug Administration. Seafood, milk, tree nuts, vegetables, processed, raw, fruits, all of the products that are not meat or poultry are regulated by the FDA. So therefore, if you're going to get involved in agribusiness and one of your products fall in this area, it behooves one to be able to hear from a U.S. food and drug person or someone that's very knowledgeable about U.S. food and drug and what they regulate.
So how long does the process take to get certified with the FDA?
How long does what?
How long is the process? How long does it take to get certified?
This is how long it takes. If you have all the information you need and you sit down in front of a computer, you can complete the entire process in a matter of no more than an hour. That's the registering of your product. Now,
okay.
As far as making sure your company meets record-keeping processes, that may take a little bit more time. You have to go through your facility to see what is needed in regards to documentation. When it was picked, when it was packaged, that information, how people are trained, that takes a little bit more time. But as far as getting an authorization number, registering your products, you can do that at the computer. Plus, it's free. All the listeners in your listening audience that have gone through the agriculture process, they may be familiar with ISO. ISO is the International Standards Organization in Europe, and they require procedures to be followed, and you have to pay them exorbitant fees in order to be certified by ISO. In the United States, you don't have to pay all of that money. You just have to be aware and register your product. So there's no certificates required from the Food and Drug Administration. However, what's required is you meeting those standards and regulations.
We heard at one of the conferences, I think it was in Las Vegas, where they said only Namibia, I think, was close to getting approval to export, I think, their meat products. Why is that process difficult and longer than any other process?
Okay. Remember that I mentioned that FDA regulates all those agribusiness products, agriculture products, with the exception of meat and,
yes.
Okay, meat and poultry? Well, meat and poultry
oh.
is regulated by the United States Department of Agriculture. And that in itself is not the issue. What's the issue is something known as the Food Safety and Inspection Service. That's one of the agencies under USDA. Then drilling down a little further is something known as HACCP. That's H for hazard, analysis A, critical control, CC points, HACCP. HACCP is a good manufacturing process specialized and directed to meat, poultry, juices, and seafood. The meat and poultry, as I mentioned, fall under the HACCP program of the United States Department of Agriculture. So therefore, in order to export your meat product to the United States, you have to meet HACCP. And that's where the length and time falls into play. Because of the mad cow disease, there are more requirements in order to make sure that your product meets HACCP under the USDA. So, therefore, it's going to take a long period of time. That's another reason why it would behoove one to know what regulates and who regulates the product and what are the requirements in addition to meeting the bioterrorism regulations and standards. So, the short end of answering your question is USDA requires HACCP for meat and poultry, and it takes a long time in order for a country to meet USDA's HACCP requirements for beef. So when they say Namibia is close, that you have to take that with a grain of salt, because how close is close? I think they started their process maybe 5 years ago. So they're talking about being close. So we have to look at what close means. Now, we can cut that time span down drastically. We can cut it in half and even bring it down to maybe 2 years if the companies that's interested in exporting is knowledgeable about what it takes in order to meet those regulations. So therefore, if, let's say, Zambia is looking at exporting beef to the United States, before Zambia applies to the USDA, what they should do is know what the regulations and requirements are. So they begin to put in place those regulations and requirements for beef in Zambia. Once those regulations are put in place, then you can apply to USDA, and you'll be surprised that when USDA appear at the doorstop and they look through the process, the facilities, to see what standards have been put in place, it will not take 5 years. It won't take 6 years. It'll take shorter. Maybe it'll take 2 years. But that has been the problem in the past, not knowing the regulations, contacting USDA. USDA appears and say, well, you don't have this in place. So they go back and try to put these things in place. Whereas if you had started putting things in place before you reach out to USDA, you can cut down 3-4 years.
Speaking of agriculture products and the training required on the ground, I think USAID has a process where they ask corporations or farming organizations here in the U.S. to bid for training services. So, for example, Land O'Lakes at one time was in Zambia, and they set up a program working with the Ministry of Agriculture where they provide training. And do you think that's enough to train the staff of the Ministry of Agriculture, or maybe there should be more, expertise from these departments, the Food and Drug Administration, the Ministry, the Department of Agriculture here? How do you see that setup working?
Well, you have to look at the type of training that Land O'Lakes provided. I'm sure that they didn't provide any training outside of their particular area of expertise. And Zambia has every product you can imagine, every agricultural product, every meat and poultry product that you can imagine. Therefore, the best approach would be a generic type of training. See, the United States, and in particular the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, they are very myopic in their training. They will train you for exactly what you ask for. And the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, they're a domestic regulatory agency, so it's rare that you would find FDA personnel outside of the country giving training. You'll probably get their training here in the United States. However, if you do get that training, it will have to come under the rubric of the United States Department. Now, here is the type of training. I would encourage the governments to drill down and be specific on the type of training they want. For example, the first training that should be provided is meeting regulatory standards of that particular country. And we're talking about the United States, so what is needed is to meet those regulatory standards. That's the first thing. And then you'd outline the products. If we're talking about seafood, if we're talking about processed fruits, if we're talking about meat, you outline those target products, because that will dictate to you where you go as to getting this training. Again, if you're talking about meat, you go to USDA or you have a USDA person. If you're talking about seafood, you get a Food and Drug Administration person. So boiling it down, in order to get the adequate training, you have to know exactly what type of training you want out of standards and regulations, and then you drill down on the product. Once you have that...
One of your GOA products that's being discussed is the textile industry. Do you know of any specific restrictions in that industry?
Yeah. Well, textile area, they were doing extremely, when I say they, African countries are doing extremely well in textiles. They're also doing extremely well, some African countries are doing extremely well in the oil industry. With respect to textiles were non-competitive to a certain degree under AGOA. So African countries that jumped into this area were doing exceedingly well. But along came
I think we lost Dr. Wilson there. We'll just continue with I'm sorry, go ahead, Dr. Wilson.
Oh, yes. I was saying that along came a country known as China, and China received special easements or something similar to AGOA, but the major point is that allowed China to be very competitive in textiles. So when China jumped into the area of textiles, you would see a market decrease in textiles coming out of Africa. So an increase in textiles out of China, a decrease in textiles out of Africa. So, yes, textiles is part of AGOA, but very few countries can compete with China when it comes to textiles, but no countries can compete with African countries when it comes to agriculture.
Right. Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Wilson. So maybe we can take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to allow my team members to say something, make a comment, or ask questions.
Yes.
So
okay.
Hold on. Let's get a commercial break. Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
Zambia, Struggles of My People by Charles Mwela is now available in all Book World bookstores and other leading bookstores in Zambia. You may also order it online at www.zambiastruggle.com. We read what others tell us about Zambia. Now buy and read all you must know about it.
Thank you very much. We're talking to Dr. Patrick Wilson, and today we're discussing export readiness, and we are also talking about AGOA and FDA requirements. I'll just allow my colleagues to ask questions, and if you're listening in, you're online, and you'd like to ask a question, you can send a message through our chat room, or if you're on the phone, you can press the number 1, and we'll be able to see that you have a question. So I'll just go to Elizabeth to see if she has a question. Do you have a question, Elizabeth?
Not at all. I'm listening. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Nathan, do you have a question or comment?
I think what I would say is this information is very crucial. And you remember in our first segment, Rosetta, Dr. Patrick remembers Rosetta from Las Vegas. She was there. One of the issues that it's the challenge and the capability. It's not necessarily the stiffness or difficulty of penetrating the American market, but it's also the challenge of the American or the African provider to be able to meet the demand or requirement of that export into the market. I don't know what Dr. Patrick would comment on that.
Go ahead, Dr. Wilson.
Yes, as in meeting the demand, that is correct. There is a huge demand in the United States, a huge demand. However, in order to meet the demand, there is a great deal of competition, and the best way to meet up with the competition is to be able to produce at large quantities, deliver in a timely manner, and to dash the negative stereotype. So there is a huge marketing activity that needs to be undertaken in addition to meeting the standards and regulations. If the marketing package is also pulled together, that will talk about the best fruit from Zambia, the best meat from Zambia, and these products meet the United States standards and regulations, that would go a great deal of marketability and also increasing the market in the United States. So there is a market waiting. Not only including the diaspora, but also including everyone in the consumer capacity in the United States, because everybody wants good food.
So, Dr. Wilson, so the demand is there. On the other side, like Nathan mentioned after speaking to Rosetta, the companies are there, they want to produce. So where's the gap? Is there something that we're missing?
Yeah, the gap is what Robert talked about with respect to the diaspora partnership with partners in Zambia. That's one gap, knowing who to partner with. And knowing that the partner that you have in Zambia is backed by the Zambian government, and knowing that the partner you have in the United States is backed by the United States government. That's the best partnership you can have. Now, once you've established the partner, the major gap is knowing the rules and standards and regulations that will allow for this exchange to happen. So you have one working on one end, a partner, working on the other end, a partner, and bringing it together, and that glue is meaning the standards and regulations. The gap has always been one or the other partner, and always not knowing the standards and regulations. Those are the huge gaps.
Yes. I think you're working with the Angolan government, and you've come up with a package. So can you please give us some background about this package that you're providing to Angola?
Yes. With Angola, is the Angolan government, they reached out and they said that we want to return to the market, to the United States market. But we don't just want to return to the United States market. What we want to do is we want to identify products and based on these products, work on meeting the standards and the regulations of those products. So the Angolan government identified three products. They identified seafood, they identified coffee, and they identified timber. And with these three products, there are various steps and processes in getting the seafood industry in Angola prepared to meet the standards and regulations, getting the coffee industry prepared to meet the regulations, and also the timber manufacturers and producers to market their timber in the United States. So that's what's been ongoing as to getting these three industries in a position to sell their products in the United States. Now, bear in mind that it's not only knowing the United States regulations, it's also having their respective regulations comparable to the United States. So therefore, that will reduce what you had mentioned earlier, about 5 years or 10 years. If the government are doing similar regulatory processes, then both countries will begin to appreciate each other's systems. And therefore, it'll be easier for exporting and importing from both countries. So Angola is also working with their Ministry of Agriculture, Ministries of Seafood, Ministries of Commerce, in order to have comparable systems to export, and also they will require the same type of systems for U.S. products to come into the come into Angola.
That's great. I'm going to let Roger ask a question. Roger, please go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah. Good morning, Dr. P.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm here, Dr. Patrick. I'm here. It's nice and cold in Canada.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Allow me, Dr. Patrick, to use, you know, it's rare when you were in class at one point and you use something from your class. Allow me to use the three P's in marketing, product, price, and place.
Yes.
You mentioned and you talked about this. We have to recognize that we are doing it in a timely manner. And now, before we even look at exporting to the United States of America, this is one thing which is always missing in my heart and in my head. Things are boiling, Dr. Patrick. You know how I do things sometimes. We had Mrs. Banda who came here. Before we can even look at exporting to the U.S., we have our neighbors. We haven't exported to Congo, to Angola, to Zimbabwe. My opinion or my, I don't know what to call it, using your expertise, don't you think it would be good for Zambia to establish itself as an exporting country by first and foremost exporting to the neighboring countries before we can even think about the United States? If we are successful exporting to Angola, then we can probably start thinking of the U.S.
Well, let me say this. What my advice would be to do is parallel development.
Okay.
For example, whatever you do in meeting the standards or putting in place standards for the United States, it should also be true for neighboring countries.
Yes, I like that.
And if you do that, let's take Zambia. Zambia sought out meeting the regulations of the United States, regulations to standards. And in doing so, Zambia implements similar regulations and standards. So therefore, when they export to the Democratic Republic of Congo, when they export to Namibia, Angola, to Tanzania, to Kenya, these standards are going to be required of those countries. So therefore, those countries will have to meet those standards. So can you imagine the rolling effect that will happen from one country to the other country? If all the countries in Africa meet similar standards and regulations, then every country can export to the United States. So it's a snowball effect. It is what you do in order to meet one market, and that's one of the largest markets in the world, the United States. You use the same standards for exporting into other countries. Never fall into the rubric of, well, it's good enough for a local country, so that's okay. I recall I went to a country that will remain nameless, and it was not Zambia, and it was not Angola, but I went to an African country, and I did a site facility visit at one of the seafood facilities. And going into the facility, I found that it was divided. On one half of the facility, this is the same plant, one half of the facility, it was dark. People handling the fish had dirty white overcoats. They didn't have any hair net. And when I say dark, meaning the lighting was poor. And then I just walked on the other side through a door, and it was well lit. Everybody had white clean uniforms. Everyone had hair net handling the seafood. And I asked, what's the difference from one side to the other? And they said, well, the well-lit side is for fish being exported to the United States, and the dimly lit are for fish local, for local sale and also to be sold to the to Asia. That's not acceptable. It's unacceptable. So if you're going to do standards, the standards should not only be exported to the United States, but it should also be for the local community as well as the neighboring countries.
That's true. And in fact, COMESA in Zambia, I believe they have a program that they're trying to roll out to help the local businesses to export in the neighboring countries.
Again, when you mention COMESA or any organization that's providing training, when you look at their training program, what are you going to look for? You're going to look and see if they have regulations and standards, and particularly regulations and standards in the United States. ISO is fine. ISO is for Europe. But your long-range goal to make a lot of money is to export to the United States. So look at all training and look at their syllabus and see if they have regulations and standards training. And you want to see United States Food and Drug training and United States Department of Agriculture training. If you're talking about agriculture products or if you're talking about meat and poultry, that's what you got to look for. If you don't see it, that's not what you want.
So what about access to finance? Obviously, this is a problem for most businesses. They get stuck when they want to expand their businesses because they're not able to get enough funding. So what kind of programs have you seen out there to help our businesses that are trying to export out of Africa?
That's another problem. And the problem has to do with marketing. If you have a company in an African country that has done a great deal of deep-interested marketing, you'll see that the finances will come. But if there is no marketing talking about how great and how wonderful a particular product is from a country, then the financing is selective. And it's selective this way. If I work at USDA and I have $1 million to give to a country or to a company, I'm not going to give it to any company or any country that's not agreeable to what my program is. And my program is forestry. So anybody that's not in forestry, you're not going to get it. So USDA and other funding organizations, World Bank or IMF, any organization, what they do is they depend on long-standing relationships. So if you work with USDA in giving a laundry list of documentation about how I grew up and when I grew up and how old was I when I reached age, going back to 20 years, well, that's an established relationship. So therefore, if somebody comes to the door and knocks on IMF or World Bank and say, I want this particular type of training, they'll turn around and look at how I grew up, when I grew up, and how I feel and what I am now, and they'll say, well, we have this company, and they're going to give you the training. You say, but that's not the type of training I want. I don't want to learn how he grew up, when he grew up, and why he grew up. He says, well, do you want the money? And they say, well, all right, give us how I grew up, when I grew up, and when I grew up. This is the type of training that's being promoted. My encouragement is to know what you want and say, well, if you want to give us money, this is what we want the money in. So therefore, African countries and African businesses and African governments now will acquire a voice and say, this is what I want. Because you know, to this very day, you have the United States, agencies in the United States, and governments in Europe, throughout the world, even in China, they will come to a government and they will have an interest in mind, an interest of their own in mind. And they will say, well, we have $1 million, $2 million, $3 million dollars, and we want to give you this money. However, we would like to engage in your oil. If the African country, African government is in a position to say, well, you can engage in our oil, but you need to also engage in particular agriculture, agribusiness training, and this is the type of training we want, and this is the type of training you can provide, now we can talk. See, that's serious negotiation about who wants to bring money to your country. So at the present time, there is a lot of money out there. However, the money is in their self-interest, and what needs to be done is to change that mindset as to what the African government's self-interest is. You want to do this, you'll get this, quid pro quo.
Right, so there has to be that cross-sector combination of packages rather than if you're here for agriculture, then you're just in agriculture. They can also include other areas that maybe can promote another sector.
So that's right.
I agree with that. So what is your, because we're running out of time, what advice would you give small businesses that are trying to export from Africa? Maybe in general, maybe locally, or if they're trying to export to the U.S., what is the first thing that they need to do to start planning to do that?
Okay, I hope the listening audience have their pens and papers. The first thing is to find out who regulates their product. For example, if it's seafood, the agency that regulates is the Food and Drug Administration. Or if it's a meat, it's the United States Department of Agriculture. So the first is to find out who regulates the product. Second is to find out what the standards and regulations are. The third is to begin the process of meeting those standards and regulations. Once those three steps are done or taken, then everything flows in. Everything flows. So first, find out who regulates the product. Secondly, begin to find out what the standards and regulations are. And third is meeting those standards and regulations.
And obviously in that, there's also the financing aspect, looking for the right financing package and who to partner with for training and different areas, right?
Yes, the packaging, the partners will fall into place when you get to the point, when you're at the point of meeting the standards and regulations, because in order to meet the standards and regulations, you will get from these individuals who are providing the training, marketing, potential partners, and access to markets. You have to include that into the package.
So it's important to connect with the right training organizations because they have the resources. I think USAID had mentioned in one of their publications that in Ghana, they worked with EcoBank, and EcoBank worked with, a group of organizations that were providing the training. So, because that organization had all the businesses that were almost export ready. So EcoBank just went in and worked with that group of businesses that had already gone through the training. So I think I felt like that was an important aspect as well. So, any other closing remarks? Because we have a few minutes to go.
Yeah, just always look at the training package.
I'm sorry, Dr. Wilson. I think your line is breaking. But that was Dr. Patrick Wilson, and we were talking about export readiness, and we also spoke about AGOA. And preparing businesses to export outside of their countries to maybe the local regions or the United States. So I just want to thank all the listeners that listened in today and join us next time at the same time, which is 12 noon Eastern Time and 9 a.m. Pacific Time here in California. And thank you very much to all the listeners, and please continue calling in and making donations on our website at www.zambiablogtalkradio.com. Thank you very much.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.